Zions Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Zions Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is May 30th, 2013. The world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize that we are in the time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after the program, call me and I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, folks, you can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, our mailing address, and really anything you want to know about this ministry. You can find it all in our hub, which is simply called prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Check it out. And you folks that are listening on satellite radio or by telephone or some other means, and you can't get on the internet or you don't use the internet, like I know some of you don't, please just simply call me and I will give you that information. We've got a good program for you tonight, but first I'm going to pray before, I always pray before a program. Anyway, dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray, Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not mine. And please give everyone out there ears and wish to hear the truth. So please, Father Yahweh, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, tonight we're going to talk with Barry Kamesh. And Barry is an author and world-class investigative journalist. He first gained worldwide notoriety with his coverage of the Yitzhak Rabin assassination and the conspiracy he helped later to uncover. His book, the best-selling Who Murdered Rabin, is an expose which demonstrates clearly that Mr. Meir did not shoot Rabin. His work on the case compares favorably to the research done on the Kennedy assassination, except that Barry did much of the work himself. Well, it took multiple researchers to prove there was a conspiracy to break down the official Warren Commission report. Barry continues to be a world-class investigative journalist who continues to research a variety of subjects. He is now considered an authority on Israel and the Middle East. He is a frequent guest on a number of radio talk programs where he shares his research. He exposes how the leaders of the New World Order manipulate and corrupt the leaders of Israel, steering the nation on a horrific and self-destructive course. Tonight, he has a real special subject for us. And so, without further ado, are you with me, Barry?
Wow, what an intro. Yeah, and by the way, I agree with that intro, but really, I've gone a little way since we're being. Look, you're going to be, challenged, but I'm going, before we get into the challenge, I want to tell you what's happening in Israel. And we have to understand, I don't know if we can stand up to this challenge, but look, Israel attacked, it was outside Damascus, it was 2 weeks ago, no retaliation, no one could understand where was the retaliation, and how did the Israeli jets get through the anti-aircraft defenses? Well, Hafez al-Assad, Bashar al-Assad, he means out of habit, his father, what he said was that the rebels are working with Israel. And in short, they attacked the Syrian anti-aircraft defenses. Mm-hmm. And he said next time they're not going to get away with it. And what he did is I've never heard of a T-3 missile, but it can hold a half-ton warhead. They're all aimed at Tel Aviv now. And he says, anything like that happens again, this time we will retaliate. And he says, well, he's really ticked at the rebels. They gave Israel logistical support, and Israel told them what sites to attack and how to attack them and so on. In short, this Syrian war is going to spill, right? That's what's going to happen. He's going to retaliate. He's desperate. And by the way, all over the internet is a photo of an Israeli APC coming into Lebanon from Syria, and Israel saying, wow, there's lots of reasons why. I don't know why he didn't repaint it, quite frankly. Nonetheless, the business with the rebels working with Israel, and it's apparently believed, all right? And Israel will be subject to some retaliation. This war, look, the Syrians learned their lesson. They ordered, like Assad's got money, he ordered the S-300 anti-aircraft system. You know about this, huh?
Yeah, sure I do. In fact, today Assad was saying that he had already received shipment from Russia with these new missiles, and in the same breath was warning Israel that he would retaliate if they did anything about it. I don't think he has.
We're on the same page. I had expected we would be, actually. You're right. It's going to spill into Israel, and it's really, look, these are really good weapons. And I'm not sure according to the IAF commander, that's Amir Eshel, he says no system was like it before.
Let me ask you a question here. If everybody does basically what they say they're going to do, if Assad does retaliate against Israel and uses these missiles, won't that unleash hell on Syria? And those missiles came from Russia. Will that drag everybody into the conflict, or is that the
issue? Israel's got, look, I've read the estimates. We're talking over 100,000 missiles aimed at it from every direction. I wouldn't worry about Syria. I'd worry about Israel. This is kind of an illusion that Israel is somehow strong and all hell will break out against Syria. I worry more about all hell breaking out against Israel. Again, I have a personal stake in this. Like my kids and my sister and where I've got a stake in this. I'm worried sick. But I'm going to go into an article, and that's why you invite me on. And good for you. What the heck? I think I did a good job on this. Look, I also have a radio show every Tuesday, 6 to 8 Eastern, on First Amendment Radio. And I invite all kinds of people. And I invited Tom Horn. You know him, right?
Yeah, sure. Tom Horn and Chris have both been on this radio program.
Right you are. And look, don't get wrong about this. They've been my allies for many years. But I kept one point to the very end. And it's strange that I would be so well placed I'll get straight into it. Christian Zionists, many have accepted what they wrote in Petrus Romanus, that's their latest book, about Rabbi Yitzchak Kaduri. Now, I'm going to give you the quote, and just bear with me. It's a very wrong quote, and it's doing damage. But they're not damaging people. Don't get me wrong. They get many, many geopolitical facts right, but on this one, there's a real problem going on. Real problem.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to give the quote from the book, and then I'll dive into it, and I think your listeners will be impressed what a coincidence that I can dive into it. All right, the quote. Even the late Rabbi Yitzchak Kaduri, a popular Kabbalist who died in 2006, prompting 300,000 people to march in his funeral procession, came to this truth, that is, that Jesus is the Messiah. Believe me, he didn't. In what can only be described as a bizarre twist of fate, he left a sealed message with strict orders for it to be opened only after 1 year after his funeral. The message named Yeshua as the Messiah, it didn't. And that he would return shortly after Ariel Sharon dies. Look, all right, I'm going to go to the end of the paragraph. Whether this comes to pass or not, more and more Jews are beginning to acknowledge that Jesus must be the Messiah for the Torah who holds. No, they're not. All right? And Jews, more and more, are not acknowledging Jesus inside of this is going to stop. Look, the fact is, these Christian, and I'm just a Christian Zionist, and we'll work this out. Because in a way, they're our allies, they're our best friends, but they are trying to convert Jews, and Jews don't reciprocate. Now, religious Jews, Israelis, settlers, pro-settlers, it doesn't matter. They're so desperate for allies in a world that has abandoned them that they play this game. Now, I've spoken to them, and I have a little experience with it. They really resent the Christian proselytizing, but and they know the intentions, but they put up with it in no small part, no fooling around. They believe that more Christian missionaries come to accept Judaism than the opposite. And by the way, if you've been in the territories and been into the settlements, it's not without justification. I think you may have a point here. Look, I have dealt respectfully and favorably with all kinds of Christians. One was a Texas Noahite archaeologist, Bendel Jones, anyways, he put me up for a couple of weeks when I gave talks in Texas. Look, the last time I saw his daughter, she may have come as a missionary, but she ended up as an Orthodox settlement, settler, living in the settlement of Mitzpe Yericho. There are lots of examples of this. Now, get ready for my involvement with Rabbi Kaduri indirectly.
Yeah, and you explain what he did say, too, right?
Oh, the works, I'm all prepared.
Okay,
I'm prepared for you, that I assure you. Now, look, during the 90s, Joel Beyman wrote the first expose of the Bush family, Crimes of a President. He was my co-editor of Inside Ears, so I didn't realize these were the best times in our life. Honest to goodness. Let's say, well, he had his best book, and, well, whatever. We had a tremendous source in Yehoshua Meiri.
Mm-hmm.
Look, Yehoshua provided us with all the documents for the secret and criminal negotiations between Yossi Beilin, Shimon Peres, and the PLO. And this wasn't minor. It led to a major article in National Review called The Peres Gambit. And I assure you, our claims have not and never will be disputed. And our source was the Yeshua Meiri. Back then, Yeshua was the Cairo correspondent for Ma'ariv and the Israel Broadcast Authority. Now, he was secular. He was a really good insight source, a deep insight source for Joel and me. There, I gave away a professional secret, but nonetheless, and I don't know how it happened, but he became religious and eventually became the closest advisor of Rabbi Yitzhak Kaduri, believe it or not. So I had a great source who put me on this radio show. I mean, we knew he was a friend.
Right.
Now, look, the rumor is that Kaduri had left a party note accepting Jesus as the Messiah. That was floating even before. Way back in 2004, I'd heard this rumor, and then they made a note, and the note would be revealed. I was on Yeshua's radio show. And look, Yeshua's a very laid-back guy, honest to goodness. But he was really ticked when I told him about this rumor that Rabbi Kaduri had accepted Jesus, and he just answered with a simple spiyot. He said, nonsense. Now, it so happens that Joel and I are still friends, and I wrote him. I had a great show plan. Now, before I get to the show, follow my logic. I had an interesting week in a way. And by the way, I am not defaming Chris Putnam or Tom Horn. I admire them greatly, but they have spread a rumor that's just simply not true. And it's hurting us. We have to work together. We don't need this. Look, what I brought up Mayuri's reaction Chris Putnam. Tom Horn was supposed to be on. Chris replaced him. I offered to do a show with Mayuri and Putnam just to clear up the rumors.
Right.
And that seems fair enough. I mean, what the heck? I'm in that position. I emailed Joel. I mean, I got the ball rolling. Chris wrote me back. And this is the start of an amazing correspondence. But it also reveals a lot. Chris wrote me, quote, "The story was widely carried. His advisor might be furious, but I think that is why Rabbi Kaduri asked that the message be opened a year after his death. He knew many would react in anger." And then Chris, by the way, that's not true. By the way, Chris sent me Rabbi Kaduri's message, and I read it. And I read Hebrew. Look, it certainly mentioned, it hinted at first Jewish Messiah, certainly not Jesus. I wrote an angry note to Chris. I said, "What? You don't read Hebrew. What you sent me is not the translation you provided in your article. What, are you depending on a mistranslation as proof or something?" And then it got very energetic. Chris, good for Chris, by the way. We kept up the correspondence, but it started getting unreal. All right, here's the next note. And by the way, he was a good guest on my show. Don't think I'm complaining about him. Here's his note. Heck with it. Actually, I do read biblical Hebrew. That was an online image with somebody else's text. The point was to show an acrostic. And someone took a marker pen and marked out the last letters of the note, but the note, he said, would read, "Concerning the abbreviation of the Messiah's name, he will raise the people and prove that his word and law are standing. This I have signed in the month of mercy, Yehuda Kaduri." And I replied, "Okay, I don't disagree with our translation, it's close, but you're saying that cryptic message turned into Christ arriving with Sharon dies?" Now we start getting into drama, and Chris is starting to lose it, because frankly, it doesn't say that at all. Now, here's his explanation. The next bit. Yes, there are two hints. One, the Sharon bit, and two, the name is an acrostic. Now, this part was not from the note. Rather, quote, "A few months before Kaduri died at the age of 108, He surprised his followers when he told them that he met the Messiah. Kaddouri gave a message in his congregation on Yom Kippur, teaching how to recognize the Messiah. He also mentioned that the Messiah would appear to Israel after the death of Ariel Sharon. And Sharon, by the way, is officially still alive. Now, here's the acrostic again. He will raise the people and confirm that his word and law are standing. And what does Chris write me? The acrostic suggests the name Jesus. Look, Rabbi Kaddouri did not write that thinking that it was suggesting the name Jesus. You can't do that. It's not allowed. But I wrote back that I'd arrange an interview with Chris and Yeshua Meiri to talk about Kaddouri's parting note. Now, Chris wanted nothing. Look, Kaddouri was his closest advisor. He wrote notes for, Chris just wanted nothing to do with facing Yeshua. All right. Now, what comes next is actually getting strange. But I said we could have a discussion about Kaddouri's real, truthful, and accurate note as properly defended by his last and closest advisor. And that is dramatic radio, and I can arrange that. By the way, I wrote Joe Benjamin immediately, and I said, let's get the ball rolling. This could be tremendous and all this kind of stuff. And I sent a letter from Joel to Chris and to Chris to Joel, and I tried to arrange it. Look what he writes me back.
Now, okay, hold that thought. Hold that thought. We've only got a minute before we go to break.
How's it going so far?
You're doing great, and I'm loving it. And we'll talk about that when we come back. What is your website so the people can find you and find out how to listen to your radio and books and all that?
All right. My books are at lulu.com. That's www.lulu.com. You'll see a search box right in my name, C-H-A-M-I-S-H. That's how you spell Chamis. My latest book is The Stutter, Not the Stung. Write that in. My website is BarryChamis.com. And, well, I also have a PayPal button on it. And, boy, do I have an immigration problem in my life right now, which I may talk about if I have a minute.
Okay. Hey, if we've got enough, towards the end of the program, we'll talk about that because I'd like to see you get some help. You need to be here. I agree with you. Folks, we'll be back with Barry Kamesh and more on this. We'll be right back, about 3 minutes. Again, you can find him at BarryKamesh.com, and we're waiting on the music to sound for a break.
Dan will be right back. Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Thank you.
prices going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people, your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku-band free-to-air satellite system from ABR. The ABR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click the satellite system.
Prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. If you remember, folks, we got donated a building, and we are now trying to open a woman's emergency shelter. So pray about that. And don't forget that our mission church needs ongoing support. Through the mission church, so many count on us for food, clothing, Bibles, healings. Well, that list just goes on and on and on. And the people just coming more and more. So why do so many people come for us for help? Well, love is the first answer. Treat it as family is the second. Beyond that, we really have no set guidelines like you have to fit into a program. You just walk in the door and ask. That's the rule. If I don't have a way or we don't have the way to fill the need, we pray it in. This is why agencies tell their employees about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send them to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. We are the very last hope for so many. We're all responsible, folks, to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps, and the Father notices all donations that come from your heart. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order. You can find all this information at prophecyhour.com or call me at 620-878-4682. And now we're back with Barry Kamesh, if he's still there with me.
Yeah, sure am.
Okay, well, very good. You really just got into this story. You take it from the top, my brother.
I'll get to everything. Look, what Chris wrote me, I don't know if I could have done it, but I tried. I wrote Joel Baderman. I asked him to translate for Yeshua. We'll put him on the same show as Chris. He turned it down. He said, of course he's angry at our contentions. Look, Rabbi Kaduri was a real person. You don't just take him like some character from a movie and turn him into a Christian. Look, the real problem is we are natural allies and the world gone nuts. Right? But if you continue to insist on Jewish conversions, the enterprise is doomed. Look what he wrote me. Instead of accepting the invitation with Rabbi Kaduri's last and closest advisor, hearing from him a real and truthful and accurate, I believe the note is still in his hands. He said, no, this is what he answered. Now, you follow this because I couldn't, all right? The angry reaction is understandable, but the book of Daniel clearly taught the Messiah would come and be cut off before the temple was destroyed, which happened in AD 70. After the 62 weeks, an anointed one shall be cut off and shall have nothing, and the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. This end shall come with a flood, and to this end there will be war. Desolations are decreed in Deuteronomy 9:26. Yeshua is the only viable candidate, but you must conclude that Daniel was mistaken, and on and on and on. What has that got to do with what Rabbi Kaduri wrote to Nick?
Yeah, let me make my comment. Folks, the two are total separate issues. What the rabbi wrote is one thing, and what Chris said to, I don't know what his point was, are two totally different things. They're two totally different things. One has nothing to do with the other in the sense of that doesn't change what the rabbi wrote. And
you're getting right to the heart of the matter. Yes, you're absolutely right, of course. But it gets worse. And then he quotes Zechariah about him who had pierced and stuff like that. But delving deeper into these conclusions, Chris found more proofs of Rabbi Kaduri's conversion. Now he's going over to the internet, looking up Kaduri, finding anything that'll fit. That's what's going on next. This is a snippet from the Israel Today website. All right. Israel Today was given access to many of the rabbi's manuscripts written in his own hands for the exclusive use of his students. Most striking were cross-like symbols painted by Kaduri all over the pages. In the Jewish tradition, one does not use crosses. Even a plus sign is discouraged because it might be mistaken for a cross. Now, he has got a real thesis on what these crosses were. But there they were scribbled in his, this is Chris again. Now what those symbols meant, this is actually what Rabbi Kaduri said. Forget Chris right now. He said there were signs of the angel. Pressed further about the meaning of the signs of the angel, he said he had no idea. He went on to explain that only his father had a spiritual relationship with God. Now, from that, and believe me when I tell you, he was basically the chief rabbi of the Sephardim. even not officially. He had more followers and so on and so forth. But what you got here, he was totally Jewish, didn't know from Jesus, wasn't trying to put in secret crosses and last letters of his message to be stewed together to create Jesus. This is what Putnam is claiming. Look, it's a baloney stew of totally unrelated so-called facts, and it's deeply it's besmirched the reputation of a rabbi. Look, this alliance of Jews and Christian Zionists is skating on very thin ice. If it's going to work, we better learn to respect each other. All right? Yeah. We got to stop this.
This is really obscene. You know, I've seen this, and folks, for the record, the reason I brought Barry on is not because was like this is because I found myself in error. I posted a video on my blog site that talked about it, that said that this rabbi had, you know, claimed, you know, Jesus, whatever. And Barry emailed me back and said, no, hey, read this. And so when I realized that I was in error, I had to correct the error. You know, we and the Israeli people, we need to stand with them. There is a terrible time of trouble. And, you know, my Bible, I'm not going to go into it when I believe that some will be saved or whatever. It's no point. The issue is we are, as Barry says, we are allies. We can't do this to their rabbi. Barry, I got a question for you. What is translated is it says, he will raise the people and confirm that his word and law are standing. Is that what is actually said?
Look, I read Mashiach. I read that the general text, and believe me when I tell you this, it was close enough to my understanding of what it said. I didn't fight that side of it. It wasn't worth it.
Right.
The point was, he did not say Jesus is the Messiah and he'll appear when someone dies. That was all made up. I'm going to say this. Horn and Putnam got me and Joel right long before other people. I'm going to quote from this book of theirs, Petra.
Go ahead.
All right. It's from their book. In March 1994, the newspapers, they're quoting me. I should mention this.
They're quoting you.
Well, it's an important point.
Go ahead. I just thought it was funny they was quoting you. Go ahead.
Oh, no. They quote me and Joel. They've got geopolitical issues right. I'm not saying they're all wrong. They're wrong about Kaduri. That is for darn sure. And I could have proven it. But here is what they wrote. Chamis wrote in his 2000 book, Save Israel, about Paris and Balaam. Here's the quote. In March 1994, the newspaper Shishi revealed the most remarkable secret of the Middle East peace process. A friend of Shimon Peres, the French intellectual Marek Halter, claimed in an interview that in May 1993 he delivered a letter from Peres to the Pope. Within Peres' promise to internationalize Jerusalem, granting the UN political control of the Old City and the Vatican hegemony over the holy sites within. The UN would give the PLO a capital within its new territory, and East Jerusalem would become a kind of free trade zone. Halter's claim was backed by the Italian newspaper La Stampa, which added that Arafat was apprised of the agreement, and it was included in the secret clauses of Oslo, signed in Washington, September 93. Look, folks, they don't get everything wrong, but Jew and Christian, you got to figure out if we're on the same team. Different cultures, maybe, but we're on the same team. Forget my immigration problem. The fact is, a reader wrote me and said he found the answer to it. He said, get on your knees and pray. He just didn't get it. Jews don't pray on our knees. I think you understand the point.
Yeah, I understand the point. I understand. I totally understand. But what about, now, look, you brought up your immigration problem. What's your immigration problem? We got a couple.
The problem is that it costs a lot of money. Look, I'm not going to talk marriage, but it's not a simple issue. I've got to apply for a very long immigration. I got to prove to the American Immigration Authorities that my writing qualifies me as a desirable citizen. That's $4,000, and just to start the process, and, well, they made sure that I can't afford to do that, and I'll end up back in Canada. But the fact is, I'm writing a lot better in America. I tried Canada 7 years ago. America's a lot better for my talent than Canada's.
Right. Folks, listen, I strongly suggest that you go to Barry's site. And also, if you can't find a leak or you can't understand it from our talking, a lot of you folks will be listening to radio archives. Wherever you're listening to this in the radio archives, there also will be a link to Barry's site. On that site, don't you explain about your immigration problem, Barry?
That's the problem. I'm Canadian and married an American, and it's complications, okay? There are complications.
Okay, well, suppose somebody wants to help you out. How can they do that? I mean, is there a way to donate to you or something? Or?
Yeah, go to my website and email me. And if you want, I'll put you on my writing list, and you can keep up with the latest look. My books are at lulu.com. That's lulu.com. Right in Chamish. Chamish. You'll get to my books. My latest is The Stinger, Not the Stung. Send me your address, and they pop it in the mail to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And as for this issue with Chris, what do you think their motivation is for not wanting to correct the issue because it's already in print?
I believe they just don't want to erase this claim. I'm not even pressing on this. I really am not.
Okay.
I haven't lost my faith in Chris. I think he's a good guy and a good man.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I told you, I've had Chris and Tom have both been on this program. Chris, lately, he promoted both their last two books on this program. He did a good job. I thought he was a good guest and everything. I haven't read either one of the books, though. But Chris, if you listen to this program, we have no ill will towards you. We just want the truth. And if, folks, no matter what, there's the point. The truth, no matter what it is what you need to bring forward. If you close your mind to the truth, if you make a mistake and you don't want to be proved wrong, then, you know, you've got a real problem. You have to open up and let the truth speak for itself.
I want to give you an example of a lie right now. This is what I had planned to do. You know, I don't know what you know about the World Economic Forum and its ties to, let's say, the rulers. But Shimon Peres addressed it this week. Now, guess what he told the World Economic Forum? The overwhelming majority of Israeli citizens favor a return to the pre-1967 border.
What?
The suicide borders, everyone wants that. Now, I'm going to quote Peres some more. Israel wants peace. There is an overwhelming majority here that favors a diplomatic solution of two states for two peoples on the 67 lines, with mutually agreed and equitable changes to the border. What that means is we get out of all of Judea and Samaria, and you bring in your refugees. Get this, from 1948.
That's ridiculous. You called them right. That's suicide borders. If you go back to that borders, that's just another way within a short time they will attack Israel.
Thanks. Listen, I mean, as I said before, it's a nutty, nutty world. Israelis are completely, I don't know how they did it, mesmerized or under a spell. I'm not sure what's going on. They'll take anything. They'll take their own suicides.
Well, aren't they just real tired of all of the mess? I mean, come on. You guys they've been under constant attack ever since they've been in existence.
It
so
doesn't matter.
Aren't they just tired?
You can twist their day-to-day history. Come on, they pulled out of Gaza. The Jews and Northern Samaria without compensation. They ended up on the streets. And they did protest. Look, I wrote a book called Bye Bye Gaza. That's also at Lulu.com. You want to see that story. But here's the latest. Benny Gantz, he's the head of the IDF. Alright. He testified before the Knesset. The Knesset wants a change in the orders for opening fire because there's another intifada, borderline intifada going on in Israel right now. Moving cars are being pelted with rocks and soldiers can't fire back. People are dying, believe it or not, from rocks. You can get killed. It's a very dangerous thing. And the army isn't putting a stop to it. Now, here's his explanation. You ready for it?
Yeah.
If we let go of the reins, there will be escalation and we will lose control. In other words, if we defend Jews, the Arabs will get really ticked off and we will have a full-blown intifada, whatever that means. The Jews no longer have protection on the roads from their army. Honest. That's the real. I'm not making it up.
Barry, I believe you totally, and I also believe this. I think the world stage is set. I mean, I believe what the Torah says, that, you know, there's not going to be any Messiah, whether, you know, Messiah Ben Joseph or Ben David, whichever Ben David, will have to come back and settle all things. Whether that's Yeshua or who that is, that's what's going to happen in my belief. And so, I don't know.
Well, I hate to say this, but we're in... Now, I'm talking Israel. Don't get me wrong. That's where my family, my friends... I have lots of reasons for talking Israel. I'm really sick. But
well,
the
I know.
Means Syria's going to spill into Israel, and it's going to... There's so much weaponry aimed at that country. Even if they win, they lose.
Yeah, absolutely. So the only hope for survival is a divine source. Well, Barry,
I wouldn't doubt that, by the way. I'm not sure I believe that, but I wouldn't doubt it.
Okay. Well, we can agree to disagree on that point.
No, I'm not disagreeing. I don't know.
All right. Well, I'm pretty confirming my faith. I think that the Father is going to recognize Israel, and he will save it in the end. Anyway, well, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to bring you back on again. You come up with we've got lots of topics we can cover. We'll wait a couple of weeks, and we'll bring you back on, and we'll talk some more, and we'll talk about the situation in Israel. But really, right now, I'm going to have to get you off the program. What is?
You were great. I enjoyed it very much.
Okay. Again, that website for Barry Kamesh, folks, is Barry, that's BarryKamesh.com. BarryKamesh.com, and you can find a link on our website. And Barry, you'll come back on with me?
Oh, yeah, pleasure.
Okay, we'll be back. Okay, folks, we're going to say goodbye to Barry now. Bye-bye, Barry. We'll talk to you again. All right, bye-bye. Shalom. Well, folks, I have to kind of tie up a few things about this program. One is, like I said, you know, this. While the rabbi did say some very prophetic things in his last note that you can read, I'll put a link to that, he didn't specifically say Jesus Christ or Yeshua, that he believed in him, but he did say some pretty profound things. Okay, Barry is a Jew. He doesn't believe in Yeshua. I believe that I do believe that some Jews are being saved. I know that reports from the MGA, the Messianic Jewish Alliance, which goes over there and does the Joseph Project and feeds them, and they do report that some are being saved, of course. Point is the Word of God says that it looks to me from the Word of God that most Jews will be saved at Yeshua's return. They will accept him because listen to what Barry's saying. Here's a guy that has his family in Israel, and he's saying Israel's completely surrounded by armies. He said there's really not a lot of hope. Even if they win, they lose. They really don't have a lot of hope. Well, the whole setup in the Word is to get them to accept Yeshua. Their only hope can be the divine, and that has to be their Father Yahweh, Yeshua, returning. It with power and great glory, and that's what will save them. And then they will accept him as Messiah, and only then. And that's what the Word says. And as far as this goes with Chris Putnam and everything, I like Chris. I haven't read the book. No, I haven't read the books, neither one of the books we talked about. But, you know, there seems to be that he, whatever that is between him and Barry, but I will clearly say, Chris, if you're listening to this program and you find out what Barry says, then you should do the right thing and listen and do what he said. Well, you know, let me show you where it's wrong. And that way, you know, amen. Anyway, I've got to get out of here in a few minutes. But, folks, I also got him out of here a little bit early so I could talk to you. At break time, I usually talk a little more about the woman's shelter or, you know, something. And this week, I just need to talk to you about the ministry. You know, it's summertime, and, you know, I pointed out last week, and Stan was on. He said, well, or the week before, he said, let's have a sacrificial gift and all that for us. But, you know, I just want you to pray about it and give what you can. We really do need your help. The people that we help are the poorest of the poor. So it's not like a regular church where we can just go and get it from our congregation and ask them for more money. The congregation, the people we minister to, are the poorest of the poor. We need your help to stay open. This June, when it becomes June 1st, we'll be starting our 14th year of helping the people. 14 years. That should be enough to prove to you and to the world that we are serious about what we're doing. I was called to do this. You know, I was called to do this. We were called to do this thing. And, you know, I'm getting ready to do another program here in a little bit for Mission Watch. Don't forget to tune into that this week. But, folks, pray about it. We really need your support for the Wichita Mission Church. And pray for Barry's family. Pray that they're safe. But go over there and check out his things and see what all he's got to offer. But anyway, we got to get out of here. So we must remember, folks, that there is only one God. He is Yahweh. He is our Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for our repented sins, and then we have to turn away from those sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, not, you know, a day and a half in a little while, 3 days and three nights. Through him and only through him is the way to the Father. You know, I talked to someone this week in my family, and they told me, well, I finally believe that we're now in the end times. And I said, well, what brought you to that point? And they said, when I saw the man being slaughtered on the streets of London. Well, that is a sign. Those people are Antichrist. We need to pray. The only safety in the time of trouble is as Ashak and Meshach and Abednego in the fiery furnace. Well, I better get out of here. I won't have time to say my greeting or goodbye to you. Remember, always be a blessing to others. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until the first day of the week, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. to write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.